We're back here at Pequod's Pizza in Lincoln Park. Woo! What's up? All right. How about it? We've been here the whole night. It feels like it was 2 weeks ago that Troy and Judd were on at 7 o'clock talking Blackhawks, and we've been on since 8 o'clock here. Hey, look who walks in the door. Duffy. A great night here. Thanks to the guys at Pequod's Pizza. Tremendous night all the way around, so we appreciate it. We're here till 11 o'clock. Patty Vasquez coming up at 11. All right. Well, my guest this hour, live at Pequod's, is the one and only Josh Caterer. Caterer was the front man of the Chicago area band, the Smoking Popes, a band that he formed with his brothers. The Smoking Popes formed in the northwestern suburbs, and by 1994, were opening up for Green Day. Anyone who grew up within, 60 miles of Algonquin's probably seen the Popes live in a basement or a church or above a carpet store. I feel like that's where I saw it. They were the face of punk rock in the mid-90s behind the albums Born to Quit and Destination Failure. They signed to a major label, Capitol Records, and re-released Born to Quit and got major radio play for the single Need You Around. They broke up a few years later, but they have stayed in the area and they've reunited for big shows at Metro and other places. They got back together to record some other stuff, the last album in 2011. Caterer still lives his life in music. He's the pastor of music and worship at Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park. And he is my guest tonight on The Down Low. Josh Caterer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's
great
awesome
to
see you. I kind of say, at the end of that intro, I say you still live your life in music. What drew you to music to begin with?
Oh, well, the home that I grew up in, we were kind of saturated in music. Our parents listened to a lot of music all the time. They had a lot of albums. Our dad had like hundreds and hundreds of vinyl LPs. Mostly, stuff that is now classic rock, but at the time it was, contemporary rock. He had all the original pressings of all the Beatles records, and he had the Stones and the Who and Zeppelin and a lot of blues stuff.
Yeah.
And then our mom liked country music, so she had all these Willie Nelson records and Kenny Rogers and Conway Twitty and people like that. So there was always music playing.
The owners
of
the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
So we just, by the time, we could talk, we were already well-versed in various genres of music, and we were just raised. We have to attribute that to our parents and give them props for musicalizing us.
Well, I mentioned you formed the band with your brothers.
Yes.
You've been musical with your brothers even before the Smoking Popes. You were in other bands with them, or you've been in other bands.
Well, yeah, we formed a band when I was in high school called Speed Stick, and it sort of evolved into the Smoking Popes.
When did you realize that, I could play this instrument, the guitar, and I might want to think about a career in music?
I guess from being a kid, looking at my AC/DC records, just sort of thinking about how cool Angus Young was when I was like 9 years old, the seeds were planted of like, I want to do that. I want to be there. The cover of Let There Be Rock by AC/DC, and you got Angus Young standing there in the spotlight. And there's like, he's on stage and there's a crowd in front of him, and Bon Scott is sort of lurking behind him, seemingly with this ill intent on his face. And like that, to picture yourself on that stage, that's the dream right there.
Well, let me ask you, because you mentioned AC/DC, you mentioned the classic rock, the Beatles, the Stones, you talked, about the country music influence. When you started playing music and in high school and even with the Smoking Popes, what drew you to the style of music that you guys created, punk rock? I mean, you guys were a punk rock band, and what set you apart was your vocals. But talk about what got you into punk rock.
I'm trying to think of how that actually started. I mean, there was such an embracing of different musical genres in our house, and when punk came along, I guess that was something that us kids gravitated towards that our parents didn't like. So there's kind of an appeal there.
Right.
Instead of just adopting all of their musical tastes, you can actually get into something that your parents sort of cringe at. So there's a certain pleasure in that.
And it was a style of music that was becoming more, I don't want to say popular, that's not the right word, but it was accessible. The punk rock music in the late 80s and the 90s that more kids, counterculture kids, were getting into.
Yeah. And, you know, but even the stuff that we really got into when we were young and first starting out, there was plenty of gritty punk, and, you know, we were listening to a little bit of, like, old Black Flag and stuff. But the stuff that really kind of resonated with us, and particularly with me, was the more melodic stuff, like the Buzzcocks and the Undertones. And so, you know, bands that definitely were punk but brought a nice sense of melody along with it.
Well, let's talk about that, because one of the things that sets the Smoking Popes apart from your you know, cookie-cutter punk rock band has been your vocal stylings. I mean, a lot of times critics will say that you sound more like Morrissey than the Ramones. But you know, you did bring a more kind of crooner style to punk rock with the Smoking Popes than say, your counterparts at the time.
Well, you got to have a gimmick, Justin.
Well, you want to play something? You want to play a little Smoking Popes? Should we do it?
I could, sure.
Should we do it? Should we play? If we hear a little Smoking Popes? What are we going to hear here?
I'll do something kind of croony for you.
All right, croony.
I'll do our crooniest song for you.
Josh Caterer, Smoking Popes, live here on The Download. Croony.
If I could see into your heart, then would I know just where to start? Because I'm lost and I need to be found. Crazy as it sounds, I need you around. If I could stand to be on my own, then I would probably just leave you alone. But I'm gonna feel this way till I'm 6 feet underground. Crazy as it sounds, I need you around. Turning, tossing and turning, yeah, yeah. My love is if I could change one thing in this world, I'd change your mind and I'd make you my girl. Because I'm lost and I need to be found. Crazy as it sounds, I need you around. I'm gonna feel this way till I'm 6 feet underground. Crazy as it sounds, girl, I need you around. I need you around. I need you around. I need you.
Give it up for Josh Caterer here at the Pequod's live remote here at 227 North Clyburn. How about that?
I've always wanted to play at Pequod's.
You played church basements. You played above carpet stores.
Yeah.
Now you played Pequod's.
Yep.
It's pretty
bucket
amazing.
List. Bucket list thing for me.
More with Josh when we return here on the Down. Let's take a break. Live at Pequod's at 2207 North Clybourne. Josh Caterer and the Smoking Popes. More. Stay with us. We're back here live at Pequod's Pizza up in Lincoln Park. It's a download. WGN, I'm Justin Coffin. My guest, Josh Caterer from the Smoking Popes.
Yeah.
Awesome to hear that song. I mean, at this time to play that song, because that was your major, like, single, right? That was,
it
like,
was.
Your time. Do you ever go, all right, enough of that song?
No, I love that song. That song is a good friend of mine.
So, you know, let's talk about you guys, you know, because we kind of talked about your style. We heard the music. But you guys really forged, or I guess you started off 1991-ish?
That's when the band started.
Yeah. And talk about what you were... Talk about where you started and what you were doing at that time before the major label stuff.
Well, we started out in the suburbs. We lived in Lake in the Hills, which is like right next to Algonquin, and our drummer was from Crystal Lake. So we started playing out there, and we would just play in like people's garages and basements. And there was a club, an all-ages club, in Elmhurst called McGregor's. Did
you
ever go there?
Yes, I did. Sludgeworth.
Sludgeworth. And, man, just all the cool bands. Like, I used to go there and see Apocalypse Hoboken.
Right.
And they were, like, this amazing live band, and they were just so much fun. And I was briefly a member of Apocalypse Hoboken.
Really? This is...
Yes. This is my big claim to fame, Justin. Is that I played guitar on an Apocalypse Hoboken album called Punish the Innocent.
Okay.
That came out only on cassette.
Right, which was an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that was exciting. And so we kind of got our start, I would say, at McGregor's. That's when we really started to develop a following, so that by the time we made it to the Metro, like, that, you know, we got an opportunity to play like on a Wednesday night at the Metro. They used to have punk nights, and you could just kind of have all these underground kind of DIY-type bands playing. But when we played there, we brought with us,
right,
you know,
this
couple hundred people that had been seeing us at McGregor's, and they came in and saw us at the Metro. And so that is something that really helped us.
Well, since, you know, that's what it – I mean, if you think about it, that's what makes – or breaks a great band. I mean, the following. And you guys were able to attract a huge following that would take to go to Wednesday night at the Metro and pretty much sell that place out. I mean, there were a lot of people coming out to see the Smoking Popes. I mean, it's almost like I kind of made the joke, if anyone lived within 60 miles of Algonquin, they knew the Smoking Popes. You really kind of you energized the northwestern suburbs to follow you wherever you
did
went.
Did you really see us above a...
I feel
store.
Like it was a carpet store, right? Like an Elgin or something like that.
We did play at like the upper level of like an art gallery.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Maybe that's that. Yeah, that seems a little too posh, from what I remember. But
right,
but there was something about you guys as a punk rock band and the bands at that time that you were playing a lot of basements. You were playing a lot of places that aren't necessarily music venues. Talk about the relationship
with
house parties and things like that.
You know, clubs are cool, and I love particularly playing the Metro. That's a very special place. But there's always a unique energy when you play somewhere that music isn't necessarily supposed to be played. For example, last year we did a show at a restaurant called the Milk Pail out in Dundee. And it was like a benefit show, and... there was kind of a banquet room that I'm sure had never had rock music played in there before. So they just dragged in one of those PA systems, like the one we have here, that's like on a stick.
Right.
And had some
Everything
bands
goes through
play.
That, right.
Yeah, but like I think there's something about that environment that kind of brings a different energy to it. Like there's a novelty, like like it's cool to be at a show, but can you believe this is happening here?
Right, right. So, you know, you took that following. You mentioned Metro. You went to, but it was when you started to, you opened for Green Day, and then you guys, you know,
yeah,
kind of became swept up in the whole sort of 90s alt-rock explosion here, whether it's the Smashing Pumpkins and all those kind of bands.
You know, the 90s were a crazy time.
That's what they say, right?
It was a different era. There was a lot of bands getting signed out of Chicago in the 90s. But since you mentioned Green Day, I have to say that they're the ones that I think are most directly responsible for us getting signed. Because when their album Dookie came out, they became these huge sensations. They were like selling millions, and they became you know, one of the biggest rock bands in the world, which I guess they still are. They've held on to their place on the throne there for decades. But at that time, they were this hot new band. And when they came through Chicago, they requested us to open for them because they somehow knew who we were. We had our first album, Get Fired, was
great
out.
Record. That was a great album.
Well,
by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. But it was a very obscure album at the time, and it was just out on a small indie label. So you really had to, in order to own that album, you had to have like your finger on the pulse of the punk scene. Right. But those guys did. And so they knew who we were, and they were fans, and so they came through Chicago. And they were really good about taking, you know, lesser-known bands that they liked and bringing them along for the ride. And they did that with a few other bands, and we were one of the bands that they did that with. So, and they would, not only at that show, but they were talking about us in interviews and mentioning us as one of the bands that they thought were good. So eventually their management team attempted to start their own label and called us and asked us to be on it, which in itself kind of was the tipping of the first domino in like what became a bidding war. But it was really started by Green Day and their support. So
what was
eternally
like,
grateful to those
what was
guys.
It like to be a part, I mean, to be someone from Lake in the Hills, brothers playing together, to have this following, to then be a part of a bidding war? I mean, you guys, and it wasn't the right time, right perfect time, right?
They don't have bidding wars anymore.
No, that's all gone.
There's nothing to bid with anymore.
But there was, I mean, it's amazing to think that, you know, like that, I mean, people wanted the Smoking Popes. They wanted everything, and you guys went and signed with Capitol Records.
Yeah. It was
happened for a band out of Lake in the Hills.
It was surreal to us. It was, we really did feel like we were swept up in something otherworldly at the time. And so, you know, I look back and it was a unique time in our career because, you know, after we broke up and got back together, we've enjoyed a lot of enthusiastic support from our fans, but there never was again an era like that in the music industry because the industry had kind of, by the time we got back together, it was kind of deflating.
It was going the other way, yeah.
So, you know, that was just a chance for us to do like the Hollywood thing. And when we went and were being courted by different labels and we went and visited the Capitol building, we asked if we could go up on the roof. And they told us that, like, this person that was kind of taking us around the building, like, introducing us to all the people at Capitol, we said, can we go up on the roof? And they were like, I don't know. Nobody has ever asked for that before.
Nobody in the history of Capitol Records.
Let me get back to you. I have to like, ask the head of security to see if we can take a band up on the roof. So eventually they came back and said, yeah, I guess, you know, we just have to be careful and stay away
from
the edge.
Don't fall. Josh Gator from Smoking Popes is my guest tonight here at Pequod's Live, 2207 North Clybourne. We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Josh here on The Download. Stay with us. We're live at Pequod's Pizza here in Lincoln Park. Pizza's still coming out. Still coming out here. Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, home of the world-famous caramelized crust. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's a download. My guest tonight, Josh Caterer from the Smoking Popes. We're talking music and listening to music. Now, since Smoking Popes, you've been in a lot of other bands. I mean, you've been doing other things, and you're playing a show at Double Door in March.
I am with this other band that I'm in called Jackson Mud, which is kind of a blues band that I started up last year, and having a lot of fun with that. And we've got an EP out called Downtime Blues. Can I play you one of
Let's
the songs?
Let's play, yeah. What is it?
All right, the song is called I Just Don't Care No More.
I Just Don't Care No More, Josh Caterer, Jackson Mud. He's going to be playing at Double Door on St. Patrick's Day.
There you go. I used to cry. I used to moan. And pray that you would come on home. Now I'm all cried out, my tears have dried out, and I just don't care no more. I used to burn with jealousy, 'cause you were running around on me. Now I'm all burned out, my lessons learned out, and I just don't care no more. I got so tired of staying up nights and wondering about the company you keep. Since I gave up on loving you, can finally give me some sleep. Well, I used to waste my precious time just wishing you would still be mine. Now I'm all wished out, my heart's been dished out, and I just don't care no more.
Care no more.
I just don't care no more, Justin.
Jackson Mud is playing
at the Double Door on St. Patrick's Day. So we're
how about that?
Excited about that one.
You know, it when listening to that song, I was like, I just don't care no more from Josh Cater to the Smoking Popes. I think about this. I haven't asked about your songwriting because all those songs were love songs. They're punk rock songs, and instead of I just don't care no more, it was more like I can't wait to love you. Like it was
right.
Like. So talk about like those songs and where they came from, because you've always had almost like a romanticism at the heart of the lyrics that you write.
Well, you know, as we've talked about earlier, you know, we were always bringing together different musical styles from different eras. And I think the stylistic way that we play our instruments was influenced more by, you know, punk bands like the Ramones and the Buzzcocks and people like that. But the songwriting, I would say probably my biggest influences as a songwriter were like the soundtracks of old movie musicals.
Okay.
Like from, you know, watching like old Fred Astaire movies and, you know, songs that were written by like the Gershwin brothers and Irving Berlin and, you know, like the soundtrack from The Music Man and like this, that sort of, there's like a romantic kind of naive yet sophisticated kind of vibe.
Optimism.
Yeah.
That's a good word that pops
like,
to.
Like
yeah.
You listen to, you know, Frank Sinatra would take a lot of those songs from that were written for movies and kind of just turn them into standards. But his music always had this kind of, like he seemed kind of edgy and worldly, but at the same time there was like an innocence, like there's almost a wholesomeness to it. And there's something really cool about that combination. I wanted to bring that together. And a lot of that is love songs. You know, he's just singing about having a broken heart and the one that got away and, so that's where that influence comes from.
You know, for you, the Smoking Popes obviously is a pop band, and you mentioned Green Day giving you a shot and working on Capitol Records. But you were you personally, I mean, you became you stood out because you were singing this way, because you were singing love songs and it wasn't sort of your standard punk rock fare. Do you think, you just talked about the influences and where that came from, but did, you know, you personally, Josh Caterer, were people always coming up to you and being like, oh, I love it, I love how much you sing, and did was there like a constant like conflict with that? Like the idea that that's not necessarily me, that might be what I sing about, or was that purely you?
Oh, I think that was me, because, I mean, there were the influences of, you know, the songwriters I was listening to. But then there was also the sheer fact that girls were all I thought about. So it was pretty much, you know, where my heart was. Just like, and I figured writing love songs was the best way to impress girls and get them to, you know, think that I was very romantic and things like that.
So. I will say, for all of the songs that, Smokey Pope songs that made it on mixtapes that I made when I was, you succeeded.
Well, good.
It was, they
glad,
were like, you like the Smokey Pope?
Like, service to
yeah,
you.
Thank you. That's why you're here. Josh Caterer, the Smokey Popes. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Josh here live for Pequod's Pizza. Stay with us. Live here at Pequod's Pizza for the final stretch. Patty Vasquez coming up next. Back in the studio, pretty late with Patty Vasquez. I'm Justin Kaufman. This is a download. My guest, Josh Caterer from the Smoking Popes. Ah, so awesome. All right, so let's talk about, let's wrap up the Pope story, because
let's be done with it.
Let's ask, because, you know, we kind of left it in the narrative of it. Had you guys at Capitol Records, but that yeah. didn't last very long. Talk about your time there and the subsequent end of.
I mean, we were probably on Capitol for a couple years, and they picked up an album that had previously been released on Johann's Face, which is a Chicago indie label.
Yeah.
So they reissued that, and then we recorded one album for Capitol that they put out, but. You know, it would be a long story to describe to you just the personal struggles that we were going through. But part of it was just having a hard time adjusting to the whirlwind of everything.
You guys personally, not necessarily the, you know, the big bad man with a capital M at Capitol Records.
Well, back in those days, if you were a punk band, you were worried about something known as selling out. I don't think people care about that anymore, because it just seems like bands are just will shamelessly take whatever opportunities to exploit their own music that they can. Everybody applauds that. But back in that era, a punk band to sign to a major label was frowned upon, and it was like sort of the equivalent of like, you know, when Dylan went electric, and his a lot of his fan base kind of turned on him, like, you've betrayed us, and so
we were worried about that.
We were kind of paranoid about that, and it took us to a dark place in our own mind, and so we weren't very cooperative with a lot of the things that the label wanted to do, and we had a rocky relationship with them as a result of that, and we ended up feeling like we wanted to not be on a major label anymore. And so we kind of tried to get out of our contract with Capitol by recording an album for them that we knew they would not like. And so we went in and recorded an album entirely of covers, mostly of like show tunes, the kind of stuff I was telling you about, like covers of Judy Garland songs and,
one of which you did the Willy Wonka song that came out at one point.
That came out on Destination Failure, which was our previous Capitol release. Oh, I love that song. That's a beautiful song. But no, and the album that we ended up making was called The Party's Over, and I like it, but we knew the album wasn't going to be received well by the label, and so. We submitted that to them, and they were like, no, this isn't going to cut it. And we're like, well, then just let us out of our contract. And they said, okay. And they even said, you can take the album with you. And we ended up releasing that on an indie after that, so it came out. But that's how our relationship with Capitol ended.
Not too far after that, I mean, within a couple of years, the Smoking Popes broke up.
Yes.
Talk about why they broke up, and is it more difficult to break up with a band that's family?
Oh, I don't know. Because this is the only band that I've ever broken up from. So I don't know how to compare it to another band, except for, you know, I guess I quit Apocalypse Hoboken. But I feel like that was just...
You demanded too much off the cassette royalties.
That was an interim position to begin with. But no, actually, I think that the fact that it was my brothers in the band actually made them more supportive in a way of the fact that I quit, because really the reason why the band broke up is because I quit having to do with my at that time newfound Christian faith, which was a life-changing, it took things in a whole different direction for me, and I at that time didn't feel like Christianity was compatible with rock music, so I just had to quit.
Because of the lifestyle, because of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I mean, like, you know, we weren't raised in the church or with the faith or anything like that. So it was a complete 180 for my whole worldview. And it just seemed so counter to the way that I'd been living up to that time that I couldn't reconcile the two. But my brothers were, you know, they were bummed about the fact that the band was going to be stopping, but they were supportive of the fact that I had found something which was obviously helpful to me, because I had gotten to sort of a bad place personally.
And they knew it because they were there. Yeah,
they were there and they were family. And so they were like, you know, I remember my brother Eli just saying to me, "Well, man, I'm bummed, but I'm glad that you found something that makes you happy." So, you know, he's a supportive guy, and we're just, the caterers are a very encouraging and supportive people. It's a trait of ours.
We're talking with Josh Caterer here on The Download as we wrap up on the live broadcast here at Pequod's. Let's hear a track. If you got one more song in you tonight?
I got one more song.
All right, good.
Dude, I got a million more songs in me, but I only got time to play one.
All right, so what are you going to play?
How about Megan? You want to hear that?
I'll take Megan. It's a download here on WGN Radio. Josh Cater of the Smoking Popes, live at Pequod's. Megan.
Here we go. Butter on a summer day when she's around. I was on the tracks when the gate came down. Suddenly I recognize those bloodshot rear view, near her eyes as mine. I heard that whistle call my name. I almost drove away, but Megan, I had a feeling that on that train, so I just waited there for you. Caught a ride to another town where the air was clean and the sun never goes down. Everyone was standing in the line. Yeah. want you to know that I waited as long as I could. But on a summer day when she's around.
Woo! There you go. How about that? Thanks. Josh Caterer, Megan.
Thanks.
Josh Caterer, the Smoking Popes, here on the download. Thanks for coming on and
hey,
performing
it's
live.
It's a privilege to be on WGN.
It means a lot to you?
It's I love WGN. We were on WGN, the TV, like the news program, a few years ago, and we got to meet Tom Skilling.
That
was huge. It was huge. I'm a big fan, Tom Skilling.
It's a very Chicago thing, and you're a very Chicago musician. Josh Caterer, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're live here at Pequod's Pizza here on WGN. Stay with us.